course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. You know, living the dream, still eating my old people candy, and, yeah.
I don't know how to follow that up. Well, I guess I'll say that this episode, we're reviewing the movie Sinners, which is in theaters now. But before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Oh, boy. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Because we finished a show, and then we started a new one. Oh, man. I cannot remember what show it was we finished. But the show that we started is Black Mirror has a new season out.
Yeah.
So we started watching that. It's got some... I mean, Black Mirror always hits, but they got some good ones on there. Let's see. There was another show we watched. I'm having a hell of a time remembering it, but there was another one we just finished, and it was pretty decent. I remember we were pretty engaged on it, but I can't remember. I think it was something on... Oh, fuck. It's going to come to me later. I'll be sitting in my room. I'll be like, oh, fuck, we watched this show.
Well, I can tell you, this has been enlightening.
It really has been. I cannot believe I'm drawing such a blank right now. My brain is just not letting me know which one it was. But in any case, we've been watching the new season of Black Mirror, and I really recommend it's called Common People is the episode. It is extraordinarily good. Very, very timely as well. So, but I'll try and remember the other show that we watched, but... Otherwise, that's all I've watched.
All right. Well, let's see. I did watch a couple of movies. On Shudder, I watched the movie Dead Male, which just came out. And it was pretty good. It was interesting. I liked it. And then I did go ahead and watch Companion on Max. And that was really good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. So that's all I watched. But those are both pretty good. Those are kind of movies that just came out. And I would recommend them to anybody.
I did watch Companion as well. That was a movie that we watched over the weekend, but I still cannot remember the fucking show we watched. But I did watch Companion as well. It was really good.
Yeah, I liked it. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's it. So let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And it's time for our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy, a low budget, or a goofy movie, horror movie, that we suggest you watch. And kind of keeping with the theme a little bit of Sinners, we present to you Studio 666. This movie was released February 25th, 2022. The movie is now available to watch on Peacock, Tubi, and Pluto TV. The movie was directed by B.J. McDonald, and the screenplay was written by Jeff Bueller and Rebecca Hughes, based on a story written by Dave Grohl. The movie is starring the Foo Fighters, Whitney Cummings, Jenna Ortega, and others, and is described as legendary rock band the Foo Fighters move into an Encino mansion steeped in grisly rock and roll history to record their much-anticipated new album. So, Ike, have you ever seen Studio 666?
So, weirdly enough, I've never seen it. However, I remember when the movie came out, and I just, for some reason, I have this mental image of, like, I talked to somebody about it. I'm like, why the fuck is Dave Grohl in a horror movie? I want to watch it, though.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a little goofy, right? It's got some comedy. But it is fun. It's just good fun. I think it's just something that the Dave Grohl and the band wanted to do, kind of some lighthearted humor, with some horror stuff. And it's fun. It is a fun little watch. So All right, that is our cheesy slasher of the week. Let's move on.
Talk to us, Internet!
And it's time for Talk to Us, Internet. This is where Ike and I either respond to listener feedback or we just discuss topics that we have seen on social media. And again, tying in with sinners, I saw someone put out there that they were talking about, do they have favorite music and horror-related urban legends? And I do. I'll start. And obviously mine is, I believe, I don't know, Sinners has kind of the same vibe, but of course, I'm a huge fan of the bluesman Robert Johnson, so I've always been obsessed with him and his work. He was so talented. But then it is so interesting, all the urban legends, the stories, the myths about him, you know, going to the crossroads and selling his soul to the devil, and so that he could be, you know, the greatest bluesman of all time. And apparently you can tell that maybe that some of those stories were out there when he was still alive and playing, because with some of his lyrics, he leans into it, right? He's, you know, he has, you know, a song called Crossroads Blues. He has Hellhound on My Trail. He has all these different things that kind of lean into that myth. There are some great books out there that have explored his life. The wild thing is it's hard to pinpoint information on him. I mean, for such a long time, he actually has three grave sites, and for such a long time, nobody knew exactly which one he was buried in. But you know, given some eyewitness accounts, they believe they know which of the three it is. But anyway, there's so much mystery about him and his life, and that has, you know, really leaned into the story of him, you know, selling his soul to the devil. I mean, there was a movie called Crossroads which explores it. It's come up in so many different ways. There was an episode of Supernatural that you know, talked about it and everything else. So that is obviously mine, because I'm a huge Robert Johnson fan. So, Ike, do you have any favorite music and horror-related urban legends?
I think so. I will say, though, I think it's really I think the movie, I think, almost touches on the whole concept of, like Robert Johnson and, like, the crossroads a little bit. We'll talk about it probably a little bit later, but I can kind of see a little bit of that influence on that as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So a couple of the ones, there's actually an urban legend, and obviously it's super duper fucking fake. I'm just going to be completely honest. There's not a chance in hell that this is true. But somehow, some way, there is a urban legend slash conspiracy theory slash whatever you want to call it, that Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey, the girl that, like, disappeared. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've heard this. Yeah.
So,
I wonder how this even got started.
From what I can tell, it's the reason it started is because somebody, like, I don't know. I if I had to guess, I from what I understand, is somebody, like, got an aged picture of JonBenet Ramsey. They made some slight modifications and everything else, and it looks eerily similar to Katy Perry. And, like, there's, like, birthmarks that they share that are similar, supposedly. And so some people were like, okay, well, this is a possibility. And so that's the gist of it. It's very clearly fake, in my opinion. I think that we would know if, you know, or she would know, or there'd be some more conclusive evidence if she was JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah, really.
But the other sort of, like, urban legend, I would say the JonBenet Ramsey thing is a little more conspiracy theory than urban legend. It's a little bit of both. Yeah. But I think the other urban legend is, like, just the Illuminati, right? The Illuminati is, like, this, like, prolific underground group that supposedly exists. It dates back to, like, the 1600s, maybe even further back. And they control everything, but they specifically control music, right? The idea that the Illuminati controls music to provide subliminal messaging for the masses. They use music to, you know, confer with one another and spread words and stuff like that. So, and even then, subliminal messaging and music, that's a good one too, where they play music backwards and it says evil satanic things or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. Of course. I mean, that's long been a thing, and
Right.
never, to my knowledge, ever proven or whatever. It's ridiculous, but I there. Let me don't get me wrong. There have been bands who have put messages if you play records backwards, but that's just to fuck with people once this got started. So whatever.
I'm sorry, I got one more. I got one more. I don't feel bad talking about this now because he's kind of a dirtbag. But did you ever hear the urban legend that Marilyn Manson had his lower ribs removed so that way he
Yeah,
could
yeah.
perform fellatio?
Yeah, I've heard that too. Who knows? But whatever.
Out of all of these, that one seems the most likely.
Sure. Yeah, he's but he's a weird ass.
He's something.
But yeah, there's all kinds of tales in music and this and that, right? There's a lot of things, and some of them were I guess horror, kind of horror related, right? There's a little of that there, especially when you go way back, a lot of spirituality or whatever I'm trying to say, tied to music and everything else. So but yeah, it's an interesting topic that you could talk about for a long time, but we don't have time today, so let's move on. Horror hot take. And this episode, we have horror hot take. This is where Ike and I, and it's typically Ike, I don't think I've presented one yet, but it's typically Ike, present something, a point or a talking point, whatever, that could be construed as a horror hot take. So Ike, do you have one for us this episode?
I think so, and it has a little story to go with it, I think.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and lay it on us.
All right, so I'm sure you've probably seen this by now. I think it was Vanity Fair or some bullshit publication or something like that. Kind of gave like a backhanded comment to Sinners about how it only made such and such $1 million on a $60 million budget, or it was like 50, like $48 million on a $60 million budget or something like that. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
So it was like a tweet or an X or whatever the fuck they call it. But basically they tweeted about it. It was kind of a backhanded compliment, basically praising them for their success, but like also saying that you didn't do that great because you didn't make your money back yet. And Ben Stiller actually, oh, that's sorry. I remember the show that I finished. I'll talk about that later. But Ben Stiller, he commented on the tweet and was like, hey, like, you got, he didn't say it, but he was like, this is kind of a fucked up backhanded comment. Sinners is amazing. But I guess my hot take is that monetary success very rarely, if ever, truly depicts how good a movie is. And perhaps that's a little bit spoiler about my feelings about this movie, but I, having re read that tweet and saw that over the weekend, and having seen the movie over the weekend, everything else, it started making me think that a lot of the movies that like I really love were not super duper financial successes, or if they were, it wasn't until years after the fact. So some of my favorite movies are these movies that realistically were not successful, but just because they weren't successful to that degree that like a Marvel movie is, a Marvel movie gets released and they immediately make back their budget opening weekend because Marvel is a fucking powerhouse and they can essentially do whatever they want. Same thing with Disney, Star Wars, or any of these other fucking things. But then you have movies like this, Ryan Coogler made this movie. He made, I would consider to be a passion project, did a super fantastic job, and then starts getting shit on because they didn't immediately make back their budget, which there's a statistic. I think it's like less than like 20% of movies make back their budget on opening weekend. So I guess my hot take is that money literally doesn't mean shit. A movie can be super great and not make any money. That doesn't mean the movie's any less great. It just means that perhaps there wasn't an audience for it, or perhaps it wasn't released at the right time, or it was released against something else. I can't remember how many times we talked about horror movies that we really love, but they were released the same weekend as like the fucking Mario movie or God knows whatever else. And it's like, how the fuck do you compete against a movie like that? So no wonder it maybe didn't have the same level of success that it might have had, perhaps had been released at another time. So there's my hot take. Money doesn't mean shit. A movie can still be great without it making back its budget. And if rarely, if ever, does money truly make a movie good?
Yeah, of course, you're right. You know, they want to make their money back. But on our end, you know, the money's not a big deal. It's not important. But I agree with you. But specifically speaking on Sinners, that's a ridiculous take because the movie did exceptionally well opening weekend. And it is going to make its money back. And just because it didn't do it in one weekend, give me a break. It still was pretty damn strong. So whatever, that's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, I mean the money, the intake, whatever, that obviously is not always a reflection of the quality of the movie. It's just not right. There's lots of movies who have been financial bombs or box office bombs that are good movies or beloved movies. But I don't, it's weird because I don't put Sinners into that at all. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. Cause I've got some numbers and stuff. So, I don't know. Sinners is not one. I won't agree with that at all. I think Sinners financially is going to do okay.
And, I think so.
okay then, there it is. I mean, I agree from our end as a viewer, you know what, the money, the dollars, the cents, it really doesn't matter. It really, you know, it's about our, you know, what we enjoy and what, you know, that no matter what the budget, you know, no matter what it made, that does not necessarily correlate with our opinions as a viewer. Obviously, you know, the some of the studios and stuff worry about that stuff, but you know what? We don't necessarily, because I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to see this movie because it made this much money last weekend. You know, I just don't think, oh, my dog's going crazy. I don't know if you can hear him, but I agree with that. So
your dog agrees too.
He does. He's very opinionated about that. So, all right, then let's move on. And I guess that's it. If we're moving on, it's time to take a break. And I got completely distracted by the dog. Blame him. So it's time to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, and all that stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so we have a trailer available for the upcoming I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is coming to theater July 18th. I've not yet been able to watch the trailer. I know it's out there. I just had not gotten around to watch it. I've been watching all the other trailers that have been coming out and whatnot. But this is exciting. Obviously, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer is a great 90s franchise that I think could go and deserve a good reboot. I want to say, wasn't there like an I Know What You Did Last Summer TV show for a little bit?
I don't know. There was a sequel, right? I Still Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I maybe there was a TV show. I don't know. I'm not super familiar with this franchise. And I also have not seen the trailer yet. I just haven't had time to mess with it. But I don't mean that in a bad way. That sounded bad. I just have not had time. And but yeah, we've spoke, right, of franchises that in the 90s that kind of got underappreciated. Most people, when they think 90s horror, they just think Scream, right? But there was some other stuff that was pretty decent. And I think this falls into that. And it's kind of cool that it's getting revisited. So here's hoping it's good.
Yeah, and there was an 8-episode series on Prime called I Know What You Did Last Summer. It was loosely based on it. I think it was supposed to be sort of in the same vein as like Scream, where it doesn't really reference the movies, but like kind of happens in the same-ish universe. But also the show that I finished, because I forgot about it, it was the show Severance on Apple TV. And the reason Ben Stiller reminded me of that is because Ben Stiller directed like a shit ton of those episodes, including the finale, I believe. But yes, it's 2 seasons on Apple TV. Fantastic. Highly recommend it. But anyways, moving on. Hell of a Summer is now available video on demand and will be released on physical media on July the 8th. Hell of a Summer. This is the, remind me, Finn Wolfhard, right? This is his... film movie type deal. So yeah, very good. Definitely want to check this out. But yeah, I mean, I've not watched it. I've not even watched the trailer for it, so I can't speak on it too much.
Me neither. Which is, it's so weird. I just couldn't tell you anything about it, but it is intriguing. Yeah, I'd like to see it. I don't know if it's one that I would pay the initial new release price for a video on demand, but I'm sure it'll be streaming soon. But yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it.
Very good. So we'll check it out when we check it out, but good couple of releases. I wanted to mention this before, but I don't know if you saw, somebody posted, I believe it was the director or producer of the Crystal Lake series. They actually like officially announced that like it is officially going into production. That like, it's like officially like a go. Like we knew that it was probably going to happen, but like they posted like on Instagram or something about it being like 1,000% official. Like they're starting the production process. Like right meow.
So I don't. That's good. it's one of those things. It's like even hearing that, it's like, man, I need something more definitive. I don't know. It's just, I'm such a skeptic with the Friday the 13th franchise right now. And, I am excited, right? Like, I cannot wait to see this thing, but it feels like it's just, they announced it and nothing's happened. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happened. And so-and-so dropped out. And then, oh, well, here we go. Here's who played Pamela Voorhees. And it's just, I'm like, come on, get with it already. And so hopefully this is a, hopefully it's a good sign. Hopefully from here on out, right, there'll be a lot more, right? Some set picks, some, you know, some dates coming up, some, you know, teaser trailers, some, you know, posters and stuff. Hopefully we'll start getting things to really ramp it back up. Because when they first announced this, I was so excited. And that's kind of, you know, tapered off. So hopefully, you know, I'm still looking forward to it just as much. So hopefully they give us some stuff to really get us back excited.
Yeah, and just for clarification, in case anybody's curious, it was posted by Brad Caleb Kane, who is the writer and is the creator and showrunner of Crystal Lake. But he basically just posted yesterday. It was Crystal Lake production offices are alive. It's all happening. And he says, machetes for everyone. So, yeah, so like you said, a cautious optimism. We'll see where it goes because, hell, they could just turn around and shut that bitch down and be like, we're done. But we'll see. Anyway, moving on to some upcoming birthdays. First things first, April 24th, 1974, Eric Kripke, creator of Supernatural and developer of The Boys. Eric Kripke is legendary in that regard. You know, he literally created Supernatural and is mostly responsible for The Boys and, I mean, just two fantastic shows, so you gotta love them.
Yeah. I mean, he was the showrunner for, you know, on Supernatural seasons 1 through 5, and that was the intent of, you know, originally it was just 5 seasons, and even if I don't get me wrong, I love all Supernatural, I love all 15, but if you take, I mean, seasons 1 through 5 is such a goddamn great story for a TV show, from start to finish, and. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody knows my love of Supernatural. Therefore, I am forever in debt to Eric Kripke.
Absolutely. Eric Kripke is a legend. So, happy birthday to you. And then moving on to April 27th, 1973, Andre Gower, Sean from the Monster Squad. I've not seen the Monster Squad, so I don't know quite know who this is, but I'm assuming
Yes.
Dave does.
Yes, you need to watch Monster Squad. This is one of those movies that I keep telling you need to watch.
It's on the list.
He's the primary kid in Monster Squad. He's not a kid anymore, but it was great. So, yeah, what else you want to say? He was in Monster Squad. Great movie.
Fair enough. I'll have to check it out so that way I can represent. But moving on to April 29th, 1972, we have Derek Mears, Jason in the Friday the 13th remake. Halfway decent Jason in my opinion, and does the character proud. I'd love to see more from the remake universe, and hell, bring Derek Mears back if he's still up for it. But I guess we have Crystal Lake coming, so I can't be too picky with it. But I would like to see some more like theatrical films with Jason Voorhees. So, but in any case, Derek is great, of course.
Yeah, and he's done a couple other things, right? He was in whatever the one of the newer Hills Have Eyes. I'm not super familiar with those, the newer stuff and different things. But he's yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's got other stuff out there as well. I mean, I think he consistently works, but he's kind of like a Kane Hodder, right? A lot of the stunt slash behind the mask kind of guy. I think he's a big guy, got a unique look, but just a great figure within horror.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And now we're going to move on to April 29th, 1981. So about 9 years later, we have Alex Vincent, who plays Andy Barkley in Child's Play. He's reprised his role in the Child's or the Chucky series, right? And then some of the other movies and whatnot, the newer ones. So he's pretty dedicated to the character, I'd say. And so it's always good to see, especially since he was just a kid when he started the acting.
Yeah, I mean, and he was all right? I mean, he was good enough. He played that innocent kid thing pretty well, that right, got manipulated by the evil doll. And some of his newer stuff, right, in the Chucky series and different things is pretty damn good. It's pretty funny, and stuff. But yeah, another guy that's I love when these guys, right, were such a key in a franchise. And they just completely embrace it, right? And that's what they do there, right? They do the conventions, and he understands, hey, I'm Andy, right? That's my thing. That's what I can hang my hat on, and I like that, right? I like when they know, and they realize that they're appreciated, and they appreciate the fans in return. And from what I've seen, Alex Vincent is one of those kind of guys.
Very good. I would agree. And he seems pretty close to the role, and he seems very open about his experiences. And and he's also pretty cool with the fans, from what I understand. Like, he goes to conventions and he does all that good stuff. So, I mean, you can't ask for more, especially like you said. I mean, he just started us when he was basically a baby. So, but good stuff. But happy birthday to Alex. Moving on to some upcoming movie anniversaries, we have April 25th, 1953, the original House of Wax, not the one with Paris Hilton in it.
No.
Not to
And
say that the remake isn't good.
not only Paris Hilton, but also Jared Padalecki. He's in that one.
He is.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good remake, but
It's okay.
the original is really good too. I can't say anything about it.
Here's the original's better in my eyes. Vincent Price, this movie's spectacular. To me, the remake's okay, but the best thing is, Paris Hilton dies, and that's pretty spectacular. I love the original. It's so creepy. Just such a good film. I mean, Vincent Price is just an icon. I advise everyone to give this a watch.
Absolutely. Vincent Price is also another one of those legends of horror and just film in general. So it's always good to check that out. But moving on to another legendary film, surely. April 26, 2002, Jason X. Legend and being legendary is not about being famous. It's also about being infamous. And I would say that this movie lives in infamy, for how silly it is. And you know, surely I want to just assume that this was one of those situations where they had to make a movie to keep the rights, and they just took the first motherfucker that walked through that door with an idea for a script, and they said, "Make that movie." So I guess that's my thought process. Surely that's what fucking happened, because if they made this movie by choice, then that's a whole nother bag of worms that I'm not sure if I'm ready to open.
Yeah, I don't know. They took a swing and oof. Oof, it's just not good. I don't like Jason X. I mean, I just don't like Jason X. I can't say a whole lot about, I mean, I don't know. There's people out there that love it, right? That just, they absolutely love Jason X. Maybe it was their introduction to the Friday the 13th franchise. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like Friday the 13th to me. It just feels like so removed from everything that makes the franchise great. It just, I don't know. It didn't work for me. It just doesn't work. And I don't know. I don't care for it, but I don't know. You have to each their own, but not for me, dog.
It's a no from me, dog. Mm-mm. But interesting stuff. But moving on to April 30th, 2010, we have A Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, of course. Now, I have a soft spot in my heart for the remake. I liked the remake myself. I know that a lot of folks did not care for the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. You know, for whatever reason, right? It's ups and downs. It didn't have, you know, the original Freddy. It didn't have any really correlation to the original, other than, of course, it being like, you know, these people recast. I'm pretty sure, like, there's a Nancy in the movie, but it's not obviously the original Nancy. Kyle Gallner was in this movie, and I thought he was really good. And Jackie Earle Haley played Freddy Krueger, which it's weird because I know him from, like, the Bad News Bears when he played Kelly Kelly. Deke, I think. Yep.
Yeah. He was also Rorschach in The Watchmen.
He sure was. And but yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I like this movie, but I see why other people didn't.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I think Freddy looks weird to me. There's something, it just looks odd. I know they tried their take, and I don't know. It's okay. I don't think it added enough to it to warrant, you know, it's like, I'd rather watch the original. It's just, there's just not enough there to, I don't know. It's okay. And I, you know, to each their own, but not for me.
I think the issue with Freddy is that they tried to make him look too similarly to what like an actual burn victim would look like. He didn't really have ears, and like the skin was kind of like grafted all around his head. So he did look a little funky. But I do think that it's mostly because they were really pushing for like a more realistic, like burn victim look. And I think that they should have gone the other route, which is try and go for the more like comically burned victim, kind of like they did with, you know, Robert Englund. So I think that was one of their downfalls for sure. But overall, it wasn't a horrible movie. It was just, you know, it had its flaws, as most movies do.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's watching a Nightmare on Elm Street movie for realism. But
no, not at all.
I'd rather watch the original, but
true, that's fair. But all right, I think that does it for our movie anniversaries. But we have some upcoming releases to talk about. Until Dawn, the movie based on the hit video game of the same name, comes to theaters April 24th. It is described as a group of friends trapped in a time loop where mysterious foes are chasing and killing them in gruesome ways, must survive until dawn.
Aha!
They said it! They must survive until dawn to escape it. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Yeah, I'm super stoked for Until Dawn. I have played this game a couple times, and my wife, who hates horror video games, as in she likes watching other people play them, but she herself cannot play those games. She loves Until Dawn. She's played it a couple times to get the different endings, which is kind of the point of Until Dawn, is that there's a bunch of different endings that you can achieve by saving certain people, saving certain numbers of people, and it's really, really neat how it all works. You know, the movie, it looks really good. It's not 100% source material, because I don't think that the source material would translate well to a movie in this fashion, because there are so many different ways you could end that video game. I want to say there's like a dozen different endings. And I just don't think that there's any singular ending of that video game that would have been perfect for the screen, or would have been ubiquitously considered perfect. So somebody somewhere would have a complaint. So I think doing what they did here by just kind of doing their own interpretation is probably going to be the best for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going into it not knowing anything about it. You know, the video, I never played the game stuff. So I will purely be viewing this just as a movie. So we'll have kind of have two sides when we review this, which will be interesting. But you know, I don't know. We've all been there. I hate when you get trapped in a time loop and mysterious foes are chasing you. Just one of those things that everybody's been there. So,
true.
But no, it sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to giving it a shot.
Absolutely. And I think honestly, we had the same kind of perspectives when we reviewed Five Nights at Freddy's. You know, I'm like knuckle deep in the lore. Like I know too much about Five Nights at Freddy's, and you didn't know anything really. You knew it was about animatronics. You knew it was about a bear named Freddy.
I knew it had a bear.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, that's one of the cool things I like. I mean, I like our podcast in general, but that's one of the cool things about the podcast, is that we're from two different generations. We have different external interests outside of horror movies. So I sometimes dip my toes into certain things that you don't, and then vice versa. So we get these different perspectives that are kind of cool.
Yep.
But I'm excited. So you can tell I'm pumped for this movie next week. When I start rambling, that's when you know, like, hey, he's excited.
Sounds like it.
But I'm also excited for this next movie. I heard about this, and this actually kind of fits into like the urban legend type thing we were talking about earlier a little bit. But Project MKHEXE is coming to, I'm sure that's probably like McHexe or something like that, but it's coming to Screambox on April 29th. And is described as, Tim, an amateur filmmaker, returns home to film his brother Sean's funeral after his apparent suicide. In the days that follow, Tim discovers Sean's obsession with an internet urban legend that does not exist about a secret government mindcrawl experiment gone horrifically wrong called Project MKHEXE. Now, this is 100% based on the conspiracy theory Project MKUltra, where supposedly the CIA microdosed or overdosed people on ecstasy and other hallucinogenic drugs while playing a video game, in an attempt to see how that could mess with their perception of reality and such, which is 100% a real thing. There is classified CIA documents that said they fucking did this.
I was going to say, you have to say supposedly, quote unquote.
No.
Dude, the CIA is fucked with a lot of shit. And so
remember, kids, if anybody ever says the government wouldn't do that, yes, they would. So keep that in mind.
Just remember, drugs are bad, but they're doubly bad when they're given to you by the government.
Absolutely. If the government's funneling drugs into your community or forcing you to take drugs as part of an experiment,
you know something's up.
Some shit's fucked up. But I'm excited for this movie. I'll watch it. I think it'll be pretty interesting. It falls into sort of that conspiracy theory, creepypasta kind of internet stuff that I like. So,
yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. It sounds pretty damn incredible. It's got a good buzz, man. I've heard a lot of people online. I think are looking forward to this. So I think this is gonna be a hit for Screambox. I really do. I think there's a lot of anticipation. I know, you know, I heard about it. And I read this. So I was like, ooh, that sounds good. Sounds very intriguing. So, I think it's going to do good. I'm looking forward to watching it. And I'm sure in whatever episode follows this release, I venture to guess you and I will probably watch it pretty quickly within the weekend after it's released. So I kind of venture that the episode after this is released, it'll get a mention. We'll have to have a little chat. It's not on the slate for a full review, but I think it'll get a little talk.
I think so. But good stuff. Love Screambox. Can't wait. But I'm also really excited about this next movie. I saw a trailer for this prior to the Sinners movie. But Jordan Peele's next movie is titled Him. It will be in theaters on September 19th, which is actually me and my wife's anniversary from when we first got together. Also, I won't be able to see this movie in theaters when it comes out because I'll actually be on a cruise when this happens. So for my birthday and for our anniversary. But anywho, it is described as a promising young football player joins an isolated compound to train under a dynasty team's aging quarterback. I saw the trailer for this. I'm not sure if you have yet, Dave, but it looks fucking amazing. It has Marlon Wayans in it, and like he's like the I'm pretty sure he's
aging quarterback.
He's the aging quarterback, but goddamn, he's just ripped in this movie. I've never seen Marlon Wayans ripped, but like he's bulked to the max, man. He looks good, but the movie looks really weird, like Jordan Peele weird. Like it looks strange as fuck. So I'm really excited for it.
I flat out, I don't care. I don't care what the movie's about. I don't care what the movie's title. You take Jordan Peele, I'm like, I want to watch it. Because yeah. Everything he does, whether you like or you hate or whatever, it's original. It's creative. He is not afraid to take a shot, right, and do something. You'll never see him falling into, you know, like cliches and whatever. He's always trying something. So I'm always intrigued. You know, there was for this, you know, longest time, all we heard is, oh, Jordan Peele's got a movie coming. He's got a movie coming, right? He's working on something, but we didn't hear anything about it. And it's like, bam, all of a sudden, here it is. We've got, you know, a name, you know, a trailer, you know, everything else. So it's like, oh, okay. And I kind of like that, right? I kind of like in this day and age, it's nice to not get every little step of the way and just all of a sudden, bam, here it is. And I mean, how often do you go to a movie anymore and see a trailer that kind of catches your eye that you haven't already heard buzz about online? And that's what used to happen, right? You would watch the trailers because you didn't know about the movies that were coming out. There was no way of knowing a lot of them. And that's kind of what this, right? I had to imagine that's what the experience was for you. Like, you know, we knew Jordan Peele had a movie, but we didn't know anything about it. And then all of a sudden, here you are getting ready to watch this movie, and this comes out, and you're like, oh, and it's that experience, right? It's, I like that. So
that's amazing. Yep.
But yeah, I like Jordan Peele's work so far. He's not let me down yet. So this sounds intriguing. I am a little disappointed that, you know, the aging quarterback. I think they could have cast Tom Brady. I thought that would have been humorous. No, I joke. But
what are you talking about? Didn't he just sign for his like 100th season with, I don't know, the fucking Commanders or something?
No, he does commentary.
Yeah, I remember I kind of got into football last season, so I kind of watched some of them, and he was commentating. I'm like, God damn it, either I'm getting old or he's getting old, because I remember when he was just fresh out. Like, it's crazy.
But I long for the days of Tom Brady walking around with Uggs on. No.
Right.
Never cared for Tom Brady, but
deflating balls so that way he can kick it farther or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
He wasn't the kicker.
I know. I'm fucking with you. I know he's not the kicker. But I still don't understand. What would deflating the ball truly do for him as a quarterback? Would it just, like, be easier to grip or something? Like,
yes. They didn't deflate it enough that it was, like, you know, flat. Just enough where you could get a good grip on it.
Gotcha. Yeah. It did.
In theory, it would reduce the chance for fumbles and drop passes and whatnot, like, I guess. I don't know. In my mind, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're practicing with that, but in my mind, it's like, okay, but if you're used to one thing, wouldn't it be harder to throw? But, you know, I guess if you know you're going to do it, you're probably practicing with that, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Sports has always been full of people trying to beat the system. That's just part of it, man. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not saying that's right, but no, if there's a competition, if there's, you know, one person against another person in some form of competition, chances are one of the two is trying to find some way to get an edge. And it happens. I don't like Tom Brady. I don't like Bill Belichick. I don't like the Patriots. I'm not making excuses, but that shit's always happened.
It's par for the course. I mean, sports are riddled with people who are either, doing the juice, they're loading bats, they're deflating balls, they're using unregulated this, that, or the others to try and get a boost or an edge. It's just part of the game. It's part of the world we live in, unfortunately. So I agree. At this point, he's retired, so I think people should probably let it go. But like, there's some people who are still really pissed off at Tom Brady for Deflategate. Like, people send him death threats and stuff. I actually read something about that, weirdly enough, but it's crazy, absolutely insane. Anywho, this isn't a football podcast, but
Nope.
all right. Well, listen, to be fair, the movie's about football, so that's what got us onto football. But no, I think this will be great. I think Jordan Peele knows exactly what he's doing, and I think the casting choices with this are actually really, really strong. So we'll just have to see how it turns out when it comes out in September. But for now, that's going to do it for all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have our official review of Sinners.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Okay, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Sinners. Written and directed by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan, Haley Steinfeld, excuse me, Miles Caton, however you say it, and more. The movie is described as trying to leave their troubled lives behind. Twin brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. The movie was released on April 18th in theaters. Now, let's talk about the numbers that we mentioned earlier. This movie grossed $48,007,468 domestically on opening weekend. Knocked the Minecraft movie out of number one. You can't tell me that that is a disappointment and that is not a success. Give me a break. What did you say? Did you say the budget was $60 million or something like that?
Let me double check, because I remember the tweet briefly, but I cannot remember for the life of me how much money it was.
I mean,
budget was $90 million.
Okay, still, you made over half that on opening weekend.
Exactly.
Domestically. That's just domestically. We're not even talking anything international yet. Give me a break. This movie's going to make its money back and then some. It was number one. It's okay. No one needs to complain and whine. The movie itself, the review will be kind of quick because, damn, it's hard to talk about this movie without not giving stuff away. So to keep spoiler free, because a lot happens in this movie, and I mean that in a positive way. I am hands down saying, as of now, just off the top of my head, not really looking everything, this so far has been my favorite movie of the year. This movie was so fucking good. I didn't know at first because I thought it kind of started slow, but man. When it kicked in, holy cow. And I just liked everything about it. I liked how they approached it. It was a period piece. I thought it was very well done. Everybody in it did great. Michael B. Jordan, man, playing two roles, playing the twins. Unreal. Unbelievable. He's so talented. And but everybody in it was great. But there was so much to this movie that was just exceptional. I mean, the music, There are post-credit scenes that are pretty remarkable. It's just the story itself. And again, it may not be a direct telling, like we said earlier, of the Robert Johnson, sold your soul at the crossroads type thing. It is still it's of that same flavor. This is a blues horror movie. And I do love the blues. But it's just so cool the way, again, I can't to give away, it's so cool that the way they tied what was happening though across generations and across different styles of music and different generational styles of music. One scene in particular was just, it blew my mind. And it's not even the horror scene. It was a music scene. It was just so cool the way they did it. I don't know. I was a little frightened because it did feel like, again, it started a little slow. So I was a little concerned, but it didn't take long for that to go away. I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know that I can complain about anything in the movie. I don't know what to say as a negative. I don't know. Acting was great. Costume sets were great. Music was great. The way it was shot was great. I thought the story was great. I liked the topic at hand. Again, I don't know exactly what was been revealed in trailers and stuff, so I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away. But given the topic, given the what was happening in the movie, I also thought it was kind of it was a unique look at it, right? It was very inspired by other things, right? And folklore and tales. It was very inspired by some of the things we talked about, right? And the music stuff and everything else. But I thought the way they came into, I don't know, it was unique, right? The way they kind of came into it, but also really honored some of the established stuff that's out there. It just worked the way they did it for me. I can't complain. I love the movie. I'm seriously looking forward to this thing coming out and streaming or whatever, so I can watch it again. I thought it was great. I didn't expect it either. I don't know. I just thought Sinners, like, okay, well, yeah, I guess we'll review that. And I don't know. I didn't anticipate, but it was great. So I kind of rambled. Like, what did you think of Sinners?
Wow, man. I just wow. I went in this movie based on the trailer. Well, first of all, I didn't realize it at first. I didn't realize that Michael B. Jordan played two people. I thought that there were two different people because in the trailer you only see him really quickly. So I thought that there were two different people. But then we started watching, I'm like, fuck, that's the same person, isn't it? God damn. But I started watching this movie and I kind of had an idea of what to expect because the trailer. Again, we're not going to give any spoilers, but the trailer almost assuredly explains it that it is some form of vampire or supernatural creature, is
Okay,
what the.
yeah. I'd never seen the trailer, so I didn't know what was in it, so.
I had to watch. I watched the three trailers because I was like, did they show Michael B. Jordan in two different places? Like, did I just miss that? And I did just miss it in the trailer. I'm just a little slow. But yeah, in the trailers, they do show the creature that appears to be some sort of either vampire or supernatural creature. But they've talked about it a lot, which that's a whole thing. But also, Ryan Coogler, right, the guy who wrote and directed this movie, I think him and Michael B. Jordan are just like best friends because like he
Yeah.
made
They work
Black
together a
Panther,
lot. Yeah.
Creed,
Creed.
Fruitvale Station, this movie,
I'm telling
which.
you though, that's a track record. I hope they keep working together.
I was gonna say that's a hell of a lineup for the two of them. So please keep making movies. But this movie, it really hits on everything. Miles Keaton, who played Sammy Moore, who is sort of like I would say the main protagonist of the movie to some degree, is I mean just supremely talented. I mean he was, his singing was incredible. I mean just his voice. He is easily one of the most talented people I think I've ever seen in a movie. He just incredible. And Michael B. Jordan, obviously, I love Michael B. Jordan. I mean he's super, super, super talented. And playing two characters, especially twins in this case, it presents a very unique issue and a very unique challenge. But he handled it very gracefully. And then the entire cast of people, you know, it just all of them were extremely talented and were extremely unique.
Michael B. Jordan, I mean, the twin scenes, there was so much interaction between the two also. It's like, it's not like they kept them separated through the movie where, you know,
no. Yeah,
I mean, there was so much, it was just, you had to be spot on to make it work. It was great. You couldn't tell. I mean, you would have, if you didn't know, you would have thought it was two people.
Well, absolutely. And without giving any spoilers or context, there is a fight scene between the twins. Obviously they had to use a body double, but obviously there are points within the scene where it's both of them talking. So that must have been a very confusing scene to A, film, and then B, piece together.
Yeah.
So, but they did an extraordinary job. But I mean, this movie it hit on all the notes of supernatural, but also this movie, you know, it takes place in the 30s. And you know, this is, you know, the era of Jim Crow, you know, and, you know, pre-civil rights. And I mean, it's just truly, I'm not a huge fan of period piece movies generally, just because it's hard to relate to period piece movies. And sometimes they can be a little boring, but this movie was in no way, shape, or form boring, and at any degree.
Yeah, they didn't gloss over the issues.
Oh, absolutely not.
They were there. I was worried that they would, but no, they were there, and I thought they handled it well with showing the issues, showing the circumstances and how it was handled within the story. I thought it worked great.
Absolutely, it did. Like you said, they didn't ignore the issues of the time period, because it would be very convenient and easy for them to just ignore the issues of the 30s to make the movie just be a movie about supernatural. So this movie is not only a movie about, you know, the supernatural element and, you know, evil, but it's also about the evil in humanity. It's also about, you know, music and, you know, a people group struggle and history. And oh man, and I'm not going to say it, but Dave's going to know exactly what I'm saying. The scene where Miles Caton's character, Sammy Moore, is singing in the barn. And it's kind of like explaining like the sort of supernatural perspective of music.
Mm-hmm.
That is just like a chilling, just goosebump scene. I was sitting there in just absolute shock and awe. Like that is easily probably one of the most incredible scenes in any movie I've ever seen, much less a horror movie, thriller movie.
Yeah.
I was completely blown away by this movie. I was not expecting what I got. But I mean, I shouldn't expect anything less from Ryan Coogler, because I mean, he did such good stuff. I mean, Fruitvale Station is one of the best movies about like a drama and about crime. But also, he made movies like Black Panther, which are Marvel movies, but like they have a heart to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have Creed, which obviously the Creed movie is fantastic. It spawned multiple sequels because of how good the movie was. I am just beyond surprised by this movie. Like you said, I think this is probably my favorite movie of the year thus mm-hmm. far.
Yeah. And again, I didn't know, right? This is kind of his first dive into horror. And I didn't know what would happen. And I was afraid it would be, you know, I don't know, not intense enough, but yeah, that didn't happen. And it was, I don't know what to complain about. I will say, I do have a very deep and long running love of blues music, which added a whole layer of love to this movie for me. So, you know, that does enhance it for me. I don't know. I can't imagine someone watching this and not finding something to like about it, but you know, I don't know. People are weird, but so I loved it. So, again, like I said, my favorite movie of the year so far, I know we do have a couple of movies coming out that, or we'll be curious to see, the Final Destination Bloodlines. And I don't know. I don't know what else. We've talked about this, right? There's not a lot of quote unquote horror blockbusters coming out this year, right? We don't have a Terrifier. We don't have a Scream movie on slate for this year. Things like that we've had recently. So this will be an interesting year. I'm always thinking about, how at year end we do our top five. It's always like rambling in my head. And I think this is just going to be such an interesting year when we get to that point, I think.
Yeah.
And I think there could be a lot of sleepers. It's just not going to be as definitive as it has in the past. And you might see, we always have that one streaming movie at least that slips in there that we really love, but it might even be more than that this year. Who knows? But I don't know. It'd be hard pressed for me to see Sinners not be in that top five and probably not in the upper ranks. So let's rank this thing. To me, hands down, I'm not even. It's a 4 out of 5 for me. And I thought about even going just a little bit higher, but I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna calm myself, right, a little bit. But yeah, it is definitively a 4 out of 5 type movie for me. And it was great. I can't complain about anything. But I don't know that it's one of those movies that will. I don't know that will forever be held up. It's weird to me. Because those a movie, a 5 out of 5 type movie is, I don't know, it's just this, it's a new level of iconic. It's that thing you think in 20 years they'll still be doing merchandise for, and it'll still be selling shirts for, things like that. It's just that weird perception within horror, and I don't see this being that type of movie. But to me, it's an easy 4 out of 5 screams. So, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is a very easy, very assured 4 out of 5. I came out of the movie thinking it was a 4 out of 5, and then I was like, I'm gonna sleep on it. Maybe I'm just, hyping it up too much to myself. I did just watch it, so I was like, perhaps I'm just overthinking whether or not it's actually as good as it is. And then I sat on it, and I'm like, no, this is exactly how good it was. This movie deserves a 4 out of 5. And this is one of those movies that this is. I would say that this is horror, but it is not like a straight horror movie. This movie is horror adjacent, and within the horror genre to some degree, but it is not like traditional horror. It's very much nuanced and very much new age, if you will. So I, 4 out of 5 is a pretty good ranking, I think, given the type of movie it was, and it had a lot of competition in the box office too. We were talking about that. Kick Minecraft out of the way, so that's extremely impressive. But yeah, Sinners 4 out of 5, easy 4 out of 5.
I would define this more as a more leaning into the supernatural type horror, and everything, in the overall scheme. It's funny when you looked at when you look at the box office for the weekend, it's literally Sinners at number one. It's like everything that was the top five before just all down one spot. They're like in the same order. It's just like, but just Sinners just knocked them all down a spot. So it's very funny looking. But yeah, I highly suggest people go give it a watch. I mean, again, I literally cannot wait to see it again when it comes out in streaming or video on demand. I'm very much looking forward to just giving it a watch because it's one of those movies that I think there'll be stuff on a second watch that I'll just feel like I missed. I didn't see the first time or didn't notice or whatever. I think there'll be more to it, even at that. So. Well done. Well done. I fully enjoyed it. So, and like we talked earlier, next episode we'll be reviewing Until Dawn. But before we get there, let's close this one out. But I say thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for your interactions and support. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just look for Listen to Their Screams or Listen to Screams. It's Listen, the number two in Screams, and you'll find us pretty much everywhere. So before we close out, is there anything you'd like to add?
Oh man, no, I honestly there's not a whole lot to add. I would say make sure you go watch Sinners. I have a feeling it's going to be sticking around for a little while in theaters. I think it's going to be pretty successful over the coming weeks and whatnot. And then definitely check out Until Dawn. I think it's going to be really good. I think even if you have no concept of what Until Dawn is, still check it out. Support horror films, man. That's the big thing. And Also support the indie scene of that. You know, check out Shudder and Screambox. I think we talk about it a lot, but you know, Dave and I, we love these theater releases. We like blockbuster movies. We like these big budget movies, but potentially even more so, we love the independent scene even more. That's where our heart truly is for horror films. So, you know, always support, and that's the best way to get more content and get better content as life goes on.
Yeah, I will. As a viewer, I'll tell you. Like, I love Sinners, right? But you know, it's a big movie with big people, and you expect that. Oh, I should like this. To me, as a viewer, there's nothing more gratifying than stumbling across a movie on a streaming service that's, you know, an indie film, or hearing about it and giving it a shot, and finding one that you really, really like. And to me, that's just, it's so gratifying as a viewer, and it adds a different type of enjoyment, because if you go into something not knowing or not expecting, and then you're really surprised, you know, just it adds a whole new level of enjoyment and joy. It's peculiar. Yeah, we're obviously big supporters of indie filmmakers, and you know, we get lots of screener links and people reaching out, and we try to watch what we can, and even if we don't review it, and we try to mention some things, and you know, we got a couple of screeners that people have recently sent us that I need to forward on to Ike, and stuff, that things that we probably won't be doing reviews on, to be honest, just because of other releases, but stuff that I'd like to give a watch to, and if we enjoy it, we, you know, hey, we mention it, and always will. You know, I love the big releases, I love the big franchise, but I still say that the heart and soul of Listen to Their Screams is the indie filmmakers and what they do. And there's just a passion that comes through,
yeah,
that I love, and I don't, I'm rambling, but hats off to you all. And we got a couple of people interested in doing some interviews with us. We haven't done one in a while. We need to set something up, Ike. We got a few people that want to talk to us, and so we'll try to dive in and do a couple more interviews in the future. Because, like I said, we haven't done one in a bit. I don't even know who the last one was, it's been a bit. So we'll have some of those coming up in the future as well. But in the meantime, just keep supporting horror. Go to these movies, subscribe to the streaming services, and watch the movies. You know, buy the merchandise that's out there. Just the more we support, the more we're going to get. I feel like we're in a golden age right now. I really, really do. And we're just, because we got such a variety. That's the biggest thing. There's just so much stuff out there now. So if we don't keep watching and supporting, though, it'll all dry up and they'll move on to something else. So
true.
All right. Off the soapbox. Done. We love horror. Everybody knows it. Why else would we do a podcast? Why else would you listen to a podcast? Hurrah. So until next episode, when again, we'll be reviewing Until Dawn. So if you have the game, get some playing in before you go see it. That's what we're reviewing next episode. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always have many pleasant nightmares.